The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We have talked to two major head coaches today, David Shaw of Stanford and Mike Norvell of Florida State. Now we're back to school. Feel a little more comfortable doing this as we continue talking to student reporters from all of the SEC campuses. We are working our way through. This is the fourth day we have done that. And Mackenzie Brooks joining us from UGA. She has worked on the school paper, The Red and Black, and now runs a podcast and Instagram. And we will talk to her about all of that, including the dogs this season. Mackenzie, thank you for the time. Good afternoon.
Hey there, Paul. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what to expect. Georgia fans, as you well know, are expecting big things. They're preseason number three. Is that about right to you? And what's going to be the key to Kirby Smart's 22 version?
Sure. I mean, yeah, you look at the AP poll number three rank. You know, you have Ohio State ahead of us because of C.J. Stroud and, you know, the defense that they're bringing in is immaculate. And I think, you know, the thing that Bama has done or Clemson has done and have proven is that, you know, they can, you know, replug and play and replace. And Georgia just needs to prove that they can do that, I think, to have less hesitation from the AP poll rank. But as far as, you know, question marks to fill, there's tons of talent on this offense. And with tight end and running back, you know, they have this beautiful problem of so much talent that they're not really sure how to, you know, use it all to their best value.
Mackenzie, we were talking about an hour ago with Pat Forty, who did a big piece on Stetson Bennett, and I don't know why it just seems like that story is never going to go away. Among the students at UGA, should there be a doubt that he's the quarterback and should remain the quarterback, or is everybody waiting and seeing?
Yeah, I know you can understand the hesitation, you know, especially after we've lost so much to, you know, the NFL, but, you know, our offensive line is great, you know, and there's still talent there and absolute talent all over that line. You know, when you watch the Georgia football team rally behind him, and, you know, who could you trust more than his own teammates? And the way they talk about him, the way they praise him should, you know, allow the fans to feel the same way, I think.
Mackenzie, let's talk a little bit about you for a second. You worked at the Red and Black. Now you're into something a little bit different. I know your background or your education is helping a little bit. Can you explain some of your studies and how it has applied to what you're currently doing?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think my, you know, route here is a little non-traditional in the way that I'm not a journalism major. I'm, you know, essentially a data analytics major in the business school. So, you know, I've seen the stats and analysis from a different side, and then, you know, it helps me easily throw that into, you know, sports analytics and finding trends there. So I think that unique path has ended up really helping me in that way of being able to study those numbers pretty fluidly.
So you run a, I'll try to say this correctly, a sports betting podcast. Explain, and that's not something, I mean, I know that students are interested in this kind of thing. We act like they're not, but can you explain what you do on that podcast?
Yeah, so, you know, I really got into it. You know, you can't ignore that this is where the industry is going. You know, betting's coming, it's here to stay, it's only getting bigger. So I wanted to be on the right side of that and educate myself in that. And the best way to do that is by producing content for other people. And, you know, in college, it is such a big platform, this whole betting thing. So, yeah, I've worked on with my partner to create an account called Quick Locks. And it's just, you know, fast, easy content, 60 seconds. Here are the best locks of the night. This is why you should take them. And I think that works for my generation, whose attention span is here now. So I think it's been effective in that way, that we're quick in what we're saying and efficient. And it certainly has helped me just learn the game in general more, you know, even not betting related, just studying trends and seeing the game in a completely different level has helped me out.
Mackenzie, I don't want to expose all my many friends who are students at the University of Georgia, because they love going to school there, and it's incredible an incredible time. But how pervasive is sports gambling among students at UGA?
Enough for me to feel strongly about continuing to provide advice on social media. I'll leave it there for them.
Yeah, I see a big expose coming down the road from some people I know. Let me talk a little bit about your background. I mentioned the red and black, the school newspaper there, which you've worked at. Now we know what you're doing, but you've also spent some time working for ESPN. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it started when College Game Day came first, where I believe it's a Kentucky game. I got in touch to be a production runner, running coffee, airport drop-offs, and then they came back 2 weeks later from Arkansas, and then I got that kickback. So as long as Georgia kept winning, I got to keep working for ESPN, and they took me through playoffs into Miami. So I really got to know the Game Day crew well and learned from them, and that's where I learned about the stats and analytics department, who essentially is a research show for the team, for those who don't know. Ended up getting that internship in that department. So I just got back from there on Friday up in Bristol, Connecticut, and that was everything I hoped and more. The people up there were amazing. No one ever felt too big to talk to. I had a really great time there and learned so much from that team of researchers.
I asked this question because the first time I went up there, I was significantly older than you, and I was in awe walking around that place. It's enormous for those who don't know. What was it like when you saw it all and you started walking around and saw the things that are only shown on television?
Yeah. I mean, it never really felt old, even, week 10, being in the studios, it was still like a pinch me moment. But it's funny, it's like a college campus, like a small college campus. I loved being able to be there in person. I think that was huge. Getting to just run into certain people in the hallway, that you wouldn't have done on Zoom. So, everyone's so friendly there, and the community there is amazing.
Before you go, I've heard some intel that I'll try to come up with an adult way of asking you this, that at the SEC championship game, you were on the field and you were wearing a credential for someone who wasn't wearing it at the time. Can you tell the story?
Yeah. Well, when you left for the airport, you had left your credential in the car, and you told the runners, that's what you guys can do with that what you want. So, Paul, I took advantage of what I had to do, and, as a Georgia fan, it was my right to take that pass and get myself on the field for a little.
Well, I'm glad you got on the field. What's so amazing is this, that I'm so anonymous in Atlanta, Georgia, that someone would think that you were me. But anyway, I'm glad it worked out well. Before you go, let's get your thoughts on the Dawgs season this year. What are you're a numbers person? Give us a number.
Sure. I mean, you think if we talk about the passing game, if we can produce what we did last year, I think that is awesome. All we can do is add value in the running back and tight end position. But when you look at our passing game, Stetson Bennett, 29th passing touchdowns. I think he was third QBR overall behind Stroud and Young. So, keeping consistent there the way we were last season, and then only adding value in that running back spot, I think we still have a really special season ahead, and there's still plenty of talent left on this team.
Mackenzie Brooks, we really appreciate you dropping by. We hope to see you this season. Thanks so much, and all the very best in your career. We'll take a short break here. We have a lot more to do on this Thursday afternoon program. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a very busy Thursday afternoon. Let's check in with Jeff in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I just rolled over by the horseshoe and it's raining $100 bills, Paul.
It is.
I guess we're in the haves. We're in the haves, aren't we?
Yeah, I would say the Big Ten today is it was always a have, but it's a big have right now.
I mean, does Kevin Warren get credit for a blowout victory over Yankee Sankey or what?
Well, I think Kevin Warren deserves tremendous credit for weathering a very difficult storm where a lot of people around him had knives out for him, and today he is having the last laugh.
Yeah, I mean, he had a nice little comeback story so far. But, hey, Paul, I've really appreciated these last few days. You've had some coaches on outside of the SEC footprint. Are you going to try to get Ryan Day on? I'm just curious.
We are currently trying, yes.
I mean, I think Ryan Day, obviously, would be a great interview. But I also think, especially on the heels of this Big Ten contract, Have you ever tried to get Gene Smith on? I'm just curious.
I don't know, but it's a really good suggestion. I have great respect for Gene Smith, and we will make an effort to see if he can come on.
Yeah, I think it'd be great because I think he's got a big influence, has had a big influence. I know he's extremely tight with Kevin Warren. It'd be kind of nice to get Gene's input, and also as an AD with these, you know, obviously these changing times of college athletics. But
I think Gene Smith is arguably one of the two or three most important ADs in the whole country.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I mean, there's obviously some other great ones, but just because of the power of the Ohio State Athletic Department and his tenure, you know, in the schools he's been at, there's no question. I heard you mention about Gary Danielson. What don't you like about Gary Danielson? I'm just curious.
Oh, there's nothing. I was just joking. It was part of the monologue, the comedic part of the show.
Because
Jeff.
I thought Gary Danielson with Brent Musburger called a lot of Big Ten games for ABC before he went to CBS.
I'm well aware of Gary's past. We used to have him on the show, as you remember, for many, many years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what happened? Was there a breakdown, or did the suits get involved on that too?
It's simple. CBS would not let him come on.
Okay, but I thought I never understood what. Did you think it was a little out of line? How many crybaby SEC fans would whine about Gary Danielson's comments? I never understood it. I mean, where did that come from?
Well, I don't think it was whining. I think the average SEC fan does not like Gary Danielson. That's been well known for many, many years.
I mean, are they afraid of a little criticism? I mean, what's wrong with a little criticism now?
I don't think it's criticism. I just think everywhere I go in the SEC, I hear the same thing about Gary Danielson. That's all I can do is reflect what I hear, and I feel like I'm out there.
And what do you hear? Paul?
They find him annoying. They find him biased. They find
biased
him
towards what?
Hey, Jeff, I'm just relating what they're telling me. I'm not on trial here, am I?
Yeah, I want to know. I mean, if he only broadcasts SEC games, what's he biased? Like their own team?
Well, that's, yeah.
I mean, are they insecure?
And by the way, I don't know. I don't agree with that because I don't think broadcasters generally care. But I'm just telling you what I hear, both here and elsewhere.
I mean, I thought he did it. I'm glad to have him back on Big Ten games, to be honest with you.
We're glad and we can't wait to watch him on Big Ten games.
Yeah, but I just would like to hear some of these whining SEC fans that are so insecure that Gary Danielson bothered him so much and made him so, you know, he was so biased against their team. I never understood it. It just was kind of, it was actually comical to hear all the whining on Mondays about Gary Danielson.
Well, now, I just think it's interesting. Now you can turn on your local affiliate in Columbus and hear it.
Yeah, I think so. That'll be CBS WBNS up here in Columbus. You probably are well aware of the Wolf family, aren't you?
I've heard of them, yes.
Yeah. All right, Paul, we'll keep doing a good job. I just wanted to see if you could give me some insight, but obviously you don't want to talk about this either, so I appreciate it.
Well, Jeff, there's nothing I won't talk about. I just can't answer for thousands of fans that I've run into over the years who don't like Gary Danielson. That's all.
Well, you act like they tell you all this stuff, but you won't let it. You won't tell what it is. I'm just curious. What? Give me some specific.
They just don't. I mean, again, when they start off saying I hate Gary Danielson, it's not like I say, "Hey, can you expound on that a little bit?"
I mean, they should talk to Iman. He said you shouldn't hate anybody.
Well, you're right. I tell you what I'll do. I will ask the very next caller. If he agrees or disagrees. Joe is up next. Hey, Joe.
Road tie, road, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Jeff in Columbus, he can go stick his tongue up a rooster's butt because you know what? We don't like Gary Danielson. He's got to be from the South to understand how we feel about Gary Danielson, and he's not. And we don't care about the Ohio State Buckeyes. We don't care about them. We're not fearing them. I mean, Paul, I don't know what Jeff, you know, running out of his mouth right now, but I can tell him this right now. Ohio State is not even going to win the Big Ten, which I call the Little Ten, because they're like little sister. I won't call them a brother. They're like a little sister to the SEC. And you know what? I hope a flock of roosters flog his ears tonight. And, you know, Jeff, I mean, he don't understand Southern. He don't understand it, Paul. We don't like Gary Danielson. And if he can go announce their games
up in the Big Ten, which nobody cares about, one of the epic beatdowns in the history of the show, one day we went to phone calls for Gary Daniels, and Jim from Tuscaloosa eviscerated this guy. I mean, we had to stop it. I mean, here you had the number one voice of the SEC, and Jim took this guy apart like I have never heard before. And I don't remember. Jim, do you remember that day?
Do I remember it?
Yeah.
Why do you think I called? I'm trying to inform Jeff about that. I can't believe Jeff missed that. But, Paul, you actually pulled me off of him. And he had nothing to say. He was so beaten to a pulp. He had no response. You remember?
Yeah, I mean, rarely. Usually, it would be the other way around. You have a professional, but I mean, we had to say.
You had a professional. You had a professional. I just didn't work for CBS.
Jim, I didn't pull you off. I mean, we had security, 10 security guys it took to pull you off of him.
Well, I know, but my point is you had to stop it. You're exactly right. I had just really, I'm not lying to you, I had just really gotten started good when I had to stop.
Well, go ahead for Jeff. I mean, tell Jeff what you objected to that day.
Well, the guy, Jeff, the guy would talk about Bama in a totally negative way. He would bring up crap. He was horrible against the bias was clear and plain and blatant against Alabama. That's what was wrong with Gary. He didn't like Alabama, and even Vern started getting taking echoes from Danielson and the network. The Alabama people literally, I think, I don't want to say hated them, but probably hated them. They were horrible. They were horrible to Alabama. They were totally biased against Alabama. He would actually, and you know this, Paul, Danielson would try to give play ideas to the opposing team, and I think he might have had some coaches hooked up where he would say things before the play to try to help the team. He was literally helping every team that Alabama played to win the game against Alabama. That's how we saw it, and that's why he was despised. I'll use that word. He was madly. I have never been more angry at any broadcaster in my life than Gary Danielson.
Jim, I'll say this, and I don't know. I used to know Gary very well, but He's never been the same.
Well, I don't mean to step on your lunch, but you did make it clear not long ago about Gary. I hear well. And I'm scared to go any deeper, but you know what I'm saying, don't you? When somebody called about him, you made some negative remarks about him. That's what you said.
I think that day that you called in.
I'm talking about the last 6 months, Paul.
Oh, okay. But back to that day that you called in, I don't think Gary's ever been the same since then. I mean, he looks kind of punch drunk after that.
Well, I think he's scared. Well, look, Paul, you know he knows what he's done. You know he's guilty. He knows he's guilty of what he did. And he knows, I mean, how can you cover up stuff like he did to Alabama and try to hide that you didn't do it? I mean, it's plain to everybody. I wasn't the only one. You know, the whole Alabama nation saw and heard what he did against Alabama. It was clear and plain, and you knew it. But you did cover for him. I'm not blaming you. But he was on your show, and you covered a little bit for him, but you knew the truth.
I did back then because I thought he was an important guest, and I was wrong, but that's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, my good friend Timmy B would cover for him, but he had to. He was one of his colleagues.
I mean,
CBS Tim
guy.
Knows what's going on. I'll just tell you this. I talked to Danny, DJS Sheridan, a little bit recently, and I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I don't know if you're going to get back on or not, but I'm telling you what, the people are really – speaking out for you and Brando to be back on there on fire. He calls you Firebomb. You know,
oh, okay. That's funny.
We love to hear him. You know that, and of course, Tim Brando. And what I don't understand, Paul, I'm just going to finish my sentence unless you want to cut me off. I don't understand ESPN not realizing what a coup those two are for the show and how many listeners they bring to the show. My sister told me, she said, I love Danny Sheridan, and she loved him. And she didn't say anything about Brando, but she didn't know Brando.
Hey, Jim,
but she knows.
Jim, just because I work here doesn't mean I agree with what they do here. I think you, do you understand?
Well, I know that. Sometimes I've thought, and I know you have, you kind of use me to speak what you want to speak.
I'm old enough now where I don't have to just be like every be a sycophant for the place I work. I like working.
Yeah,
they
can't say that. Paul, go to your room and be a nice boy, and we'll let you out tomorrow.
Well,
right?
They probably tried that before, but I'm not going to stop somebody like you from speaking your mind.
Well, I hope I've made it clear to Jeff, and I was about to call Jeff because I couldn't believe what he was saying, proving to me that he had no clue what I thought about it. I've never spoken to him about any of that. That's been, what, 8 or 9 years ago, at least, when I did that.
Well, anyway, Jim, thanks for joining us to talk about Gary. We are heading to a break right now. We still have a long way to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we continue back to school as we head to Gainesville. Brandon Hernandez joining us from the Independent Alligator. Covers the Gators. Got a little more time before he graduates. Let's check in with Brandon. Brandon, good afternoon. It's great to have you on.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Well, tell us... So far, we're 2 weeks away from the season. What's it been like covering a new regime at UF?
Well, I got to tell you right now, it's been an entirely culture change over here with Billy Napier. I mean, from what I'm hearing around locker rooms, he's basically that player's coach that, I mean, is turning, I mean, everything on the side for the Gators in the SEC. So a lot of people around this building are really excited for him. They already sold out student tickets, and honestly, they probably sold out more than anything that, during the Mullen era. So Billy Napier, right now, everyone's full throttle on him.
Brandon, a quick question on Mullen. It was announced today that Mullen will be working for ESPN, this college, analyzing college football. What I want you to expound and expand on the differences, because you know, we all know what Mullen was expected to do, and we all know what he didn't do. Is that the specific difference, or are there other differences that you've noticed so far?
Well, one of the biggest differences between Mullen and Napier is that Mullen was more of an X-No guy, right? That'll be kind of the coach out there for game days, but he wasn't there for recruiting, wasn't there for player development. Billy Napier himself, and of course we all saw what he did with Louisiana Lafayette. However, now with the Gators, especially during Friday Night Lights, where they had a host of recruits, and even into the fall camp now with the training camp before the first week for against Utah, I mean, he's obviously put down recruiting as a number one topic right now in his focus during the offseason. And then now on the players on the field, he's growing men now out of the players. So he's focusing specifically on not only X's and O's, but the team itself with these high expectations. So I think the biggest difference right now between Mullen and Napier is the fact that, I mean, Napier is full throttle on these kids. Mullen, I mean, he was more or less 50-50. I felt like more or less from around the fan base themselves of those Gators and Gainesville, that they're more or less expecting him to be some huge guy in recruitment, but he never really picked up to the standard that Florida needed.
Brandon, you've answered the question in part, but can you, other than what you've seen being in practice, covering the team, what is the vibe among the student body with Billy Napier?
Well, I think the student body, they're excited to see Billy Napier actually coach on the field for this one, because from the student body itself here at the University of Florida, I think that, you know, there's a standard, right? We haven't had a championship since Tim Tebow has been here in 08, and obviously, you know, top five public university as they do boast here in Gainesville, you know, they're expecting that same exact standard on the field. So the student body is expecting a lot of wins and hopefully a bowl game, and probably even more than that in the future.
Brandon Hernandez joining us. So Brandon, let's talk for a second about you and how you ended up getting to this point in your young life. What has been your path?
So I actually started off at spring of 2020 for the spring term at FIU, which is actually a university that's founded out in South Florida. And I was there, and then the pandemic hit. So majority of my classes were there online. I was taking online classes, and they didn't really have much for sports journalism to really go by. So I decided, and I used to work at a Steak and Shake, probably working about 35 to almost 40 hours a week on Hellendale Beach. And I told myself that, you know, I got to go out there and at least got to find the best possible public university in the state of Florida for me to go and at least learn to broadcast, to journal. And I ended up crossing around Florida. I got accepted. I transferred in January for the spring of 2022. And I've been very blessed with the opportunities here at Florida. I've been able to broadcast play-by-play with a couple of the immersions that they've had here. And, of course, they also have the ESPN connection here in Gainesville, so I'll be doing intro to ESPN, which is another immersion that covers high school sports on Friday. So at Florida, I've been really blessed to have the opportunity that these immersions have been given to me by the university and, of course, the communication and journalism school here. And honestly, it's a whole different brand. I mean, if you really want to study journalism in the state of Florida, UF is the way to go.
No, it's I've had the pleasure of being in that journalism school there, and it's pretty amazing. I've seen the radio station operate and everything that goes into it. It's quite an amazing operation. So tell us, ultimately, you still got a little time left to enjoy all the things that you're doing. What would you like to do upon graduation and looking into the future?
Well, upon graduation in the future, you know, I hope to be the guy covering for a team, right? I hope to be specifically that beat writer for a specific university. It could be anywhere in the SEC, Pac-12, anywhere in the country you can find me. I mean, you can even find me here in Gainesville, hopefully, if they accept me. But, you know, just covering a team, I would be gladly any sort of pay. It could be $15,000, it could be $1 million. Honestly, I just love the fact that I get to, you know, cover these amazing stories.
Well, Brandon, I think with that attitude, we'll have no difficulty landing a big job. Before you go, we're asking all of our student guests to make a prediction on this season. What do you think?
Well, I know that a lot of people do have the Gators out because, you know, the first two games are going against the top 25 schools AP poll in Kentucky and Utah. However, I do have high hopes that the Gators will most likely make a 9-3 record. I just have some sort of prediction that the first four games in the Swamp are going to be simple wins. The Utah one will be very close. Kentucky, I don't really feel like they have enough pressure to go against the O-line. And, you know, the O-line, some people will be surprised this year. I guarantee that. However, 9-3, I think the Gators will do well and end up becoming ranked at the end of the year.
Brandon, bringing serious confidence to the program. Brandon, you be well. We wish you much success and hope to meet you soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Brandon Hernandez joining us from Gainesville. 9-3 for the Florida Gators. We'll take a short break. We'll get your reaction to all of that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Larry is up next. Larry, are you there? Didn't mean to wake you. We'll try to get to Larry in a minute. Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. I'm loving the interviews you're having with the students. It's awesome. The photo pass or the student who got your pass is incredible. I've had a few photo passes in my day to go out on the field. There's nothing better than that. I'm picking Florida over Tennessee this year. I predict another slinging in the rain upset, if you know what that refers to.
I do.
Actually, I called about some other comments.
Sure.
I think that Nick Schapkowski doesn't understand at all. It's not about Notre Dame. It's about you feeding rat poison to Ohio State. We have a tough schedule. Every single game is going to be tough. And guess what? We're playing Michigan at the same time Georgia is playing the Yellow Jackets. There's no easy games for us in this season. Maybe Maryland, maybe Indy, something like that. But it's a tough schedule. And so I just kindly ask that you not feed any more rat poison to the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I'll do my best, Elliot. Thank you very, very much. We'll try Larry one more time. He probably fell asleep considering his state of mind. Larry?
Yeah, man. Hey, what's up, Paul?
Still here,
Larry. You hear me?
Of course I can hear you.
Yeah, we'll see if you can hear this. Why don't you name this the Jim and Jam Show? Because you let Jim call in, you jam it in everybody's ear holes. I mean, you cut Joe off, and every time
Larry,
and we got to listen to our man, and we got to listen to our man and Jim's love affair.
Larry, why don't you worry about being ready to go on the show? And
don't you get sick of him just cutting in whenever he wants.
What I get sick of is people like you who can't listen.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Jim just controls this thing. Why don't you get y'all on a little show? You got your dog whistle going on with him. Come here, Jim. Woo! Come here, boy. Hell yeah. Roll time. Kiss it.
Ooh. Sean is up next. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, you put me in the unenviable position of following Larry, but I'll do my best. I'm going to do something I've never done before, Paul, and that's defend Gary Danielson. All these Alabama fans thinking that Gary is biased against Alabama, Jim even implying that he was feeding plays to opposing teams' coaches with his tinfoil hat on. Georgia fans think that Gary Danielson is biased towards Alabama. So who is he biased towards? If every fan thinks that Gary Danielson is biased against their team, then tell me who is his team.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to figure out.
By the way, if he is feeding plays to Alabama, he's done a pretty poor job of against Alabama. He's done a pretty poor job of hurting them.
Exactly. And I think it's really the color commentator syndrome. And you see the same thing with Chris Collinsworth and Joe Buck. And, you know, the only guy that people seem to like is Tony Romo, who I understand that. You know, you see it in NASCAR. People hate the color commentator guy. For whatever reason, they think that he's against their team. Like, they have to play the victim. Oh, he said something bad about Georgia, so he must be – He must hate Georgia. He must be a Florida fan or an Alabama fan. And it must be hard, Paul, to fill 3.5 hours of game time trying to keep fans engaged and try to keep them interested in the game without saying something that could be perceived as even remotely biased.
Yeah, but
so
Sean,
I think Gary does a fantastic job.
The psychology of fans watching a game is what they're viewing it through a very narrow prism, their fandom. So if their team is not doing well, and I've heard this criticism of Herbstreit, he got pretty vicious last year, that when you have a one-sided game, sometimes the broadcasters are cheering for the game to get more interesting. And I think we're now in such a polarized society where you can say anything and be heard in some social media platform that we don't like any of the announcers.
Paul, Braves fans had the nerve to say that John Smoltz was biased against the Braves during the playoffs last year. John Smoltz was biased against the Braves.
Yeah, probably
figure
not
that one out.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, I think it's the culture that we are living in right now. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's check out Matt up next in San Antonio.
Hey, Berger, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I got something going to talk to you about. There's this thing on 27/4 Sports. You know the guy who does it for YouTube? He's kind of bald. I can't remember his name exactly.
No.
He was saying if we take out all the usual suspects like Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and put in some other teams, and nobody expects to go there. He said A&M is one of them. Miami's the second one. But if those two teams won their conferences, that would shock the college football world in general. And I guess the only question I have to you about that is, what's your thoughts on it? And can you do me a favor, brother? Every time I talk to my friends, a Texas fan, or I run into them, they say, why can't we keep the Longhorn Network? Why can't we play that neutral site game anymore? Is this really annoying? I can't get them to listen, Paul. Maybe you can.
Well, I think the Longhorn Network will continue in some form or fashion, but it will not be what it is right now when Texas comes into the SEC. Jerry is up next. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
The Danielson talk, this isn't what I'm calling about, but when these people are 100 years old looking back on their lives, that's going to be the soundtrack of some of their best and worst moments of their lives. But I'm about to solve a bunch of the world's problems regarding Arch Manning, for instance. He's number one player in Rivals 250. Bama just... excuse me, outbid somebody for another one. You got the top 250. Let's say you had a top 1,000 that you get a new pro league and they get all of them, all 1,500. Colleges take the scraps from there. They play on Saturday. Who do you think is going to be getting better TV reviews?
Well, I think the more compelling games with the better players.
You think so? Not the school that's got Alabama or Texas.
Well, I think it depends.
Or LSU on the helmet.
If Alabama's 5-7, they're not going to command a huge national audience. But if
no. You're not playing each other. You're still playing Auburn, Tennessee.
What do you think?
You're not playing the other league. Well, I think colleges would get the ratings.
Well, Jerry, compelling matchups will get big audiences. Anyway, we're up against a break. We'll come back with another hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.